Father, we bless you and we thank you for all that you are. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the power of the rebirth, Father. We thank you for the baptism. We thank you for the apostles' doctrine, Father, and we thank you for this offering that we have received, Father God. We know that it's sown in good ground indeed, Father. We thank you for it, Father, and we thank you for everyone that sowed seed, everyone that thought about sowing seed, and we thank you for everyone here today, Father. We worship you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. And the capacity crowd said, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor called me today and said, you might be ministering today. You know what? I was really not upset in the bad sense, but Pastor's been on such another level in his teachings lately on Wednesdays and Sundays. You almost, okay. I mean, he's been, most people would agree with me, his Wednesday night teachings and his Sundays are just, they're just incredible. It's always an honor to handle the Word of God, but what Pastor's been doing lately has just been it's been incredible, and I'm sure as I'm blessed as an elder, you are blessed too as elders and as worshipers of Jesus Christ with me. So I'm here handling the Word. I feel the exhort a little bit, maybe a little bit of teaching, but I've just been so blessed by the Word lately on Sundays, and me and another man, we talk about the Word a lot. We've been communicating a lot about what Pastor's been teaching, and it's just incredible what's being dispersed on Sunday afternoon. I just wish more people would come and hear this, but it shouldn't surprise us in these last days. It shouldn't surprise us, but all it takes is a few. All it takes is one. All it takes one really is to start a revival. It's a blessing that there's 20 or 30, 40 of us on Sunday, so there's more than one that are hungry for God. But I've been learning lately. I've been learning one thing that it seems I used to hear a lot of people say, well, I hear from God a lot. And, you know, I always thought they were crazy because I really didn't hear much, or so there wasn't enough peace in my life, it seemed like, to really hear from God. But I heard him again today, I mean, at an awkward moment. I've heard him four times this year. One time I was underneath an oak tree, and really, I mean, you might say, Homer, I don't believe you. That's okay. You don't have to believe me. I believe me. I believe me a lot. And one time I heard it clearly, and I heard something tell me, not something, forgive me, Lord, you're not a something. You're the Almighty. But I heard a voice say, perilous times await you, but do not fear, I am with you. I put that on the shelf. I'm not going to dwell on it too much. I figure if he's with me through perils, and why worry about it? And then I heard him again whisper, maybe about 3 or 4 months ago, do not leave this place in the spirit. I was going through a journey through 1 John, just because I really, more than anything on the face of this earth, in this world, I want to walk in love. I just desire so much to know that I know your weakest point, and that I do not take note of your weakest point or your stronghold in your life. That I can see you, love you, and embrace you even when I know your stronghold. And that's what I want. That's where I want to be with God. And I heard that clearly. Do not leave this place in the spirit, or do not leave this place in me. And then about a month or two ago, the dates I'm not too quite sure, but I heard him say, carry your cross. Carry my cross. Carry your cross. And then about 2 Sundays ago, me and my wife stayed here late, and I heard him say to me again with such clarity, surrender. Surrender. Just one word, surrender. I just stayed here with my wife worshiping God, and it was pretty incredible. And then today, it was pretty awkward, and it scared me a little because it was a loud, audible voice. I was walking. I was in my room. I think I was taking a little break from praying in the Spirit here, and I think I was hearing 1 John a little bit. And I walked, and boom, I ran into the post of my bed. I mean, I just pow, all on the side of my face. And my wife knows, and my kids know, and Pastor Bronk knows what some of my strongholds are. And I hit myself pretty hard. And it's a big old post, and pow. Right? But I'm telling you, I didn't have enough time to go back into my mind. I didn't have enough time to think of a Bible verse for the moment to calm me down for knocking myself upside the head with a bedpost. I didn't have enough time. I did grab the post, and I was going to, oh, my God, I can't believe this. But the Holy Ghost. And my prayer has been, my confession has been, to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. If we can incorporate that, we'll never leave the operation of the Spirit. But too many times we're too quick to respond. There's defenses in us, there's opinions, there's thoughts in us, and we're too quick to respond when something's at hand. So there are certain verses in Proverbs that I've been going through to slow me down. Still a work in progress. But as I hit my face hard on the pole, I went like this, and I didn't have enough time to go back into my mind and to think of a verse to apply at that moment so I wouldn't get ballistic. I'm telling you, whether you believe me or not, it doesn't matter. I mean, I don't say that in a mean way. Immediately, almost in a loud voice, he said, stay in the Spirit. Just like that. I mean, just, it was incredible. Stay in the Spirit, because see, God knows what my strongholds are. He knows what mine, I know what my strongholds are. And a stronghold would have been at that moment to tear that bed apart. And I grabbed the post and I shook it. I said, stay in the Spirit. And I did, and I laid down and I started laughing. He knows your strongholds. He knows my strongholds. Do you have other strongholds in your life, Homer? Yes, I do. Like Gary says, they are none of your business. You tell me what five of yours are, I'll tell you what one of my strongholds are. I mean, I will, honestly. Tell me what five of yours, I'll tell you what one of mine. That's a fair deal. But, and I was so happy to hear Miss Candy talk about fear, because that's one thing the Lord is really teaching me. Is teaching me through the Psalms and through Timothy, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, through Philippians and through certain books on how just not to walk in fear. What am I going to do one day if the Holy Ghost whispers to me? And not that, and I'm not going to get descriptive because I know there's kids here. What am I going to do one day if he says, okay, Homer, there's a small village in Iran that they're hungry for the gospel, they're ready to receive. I want you to go. What am I going to do with fear in my life? I've got to know that if the Holy Ghost is going to whisper that to me, I want you to go. I want you to book a flight. I want you to be there by next Thursday. What if he whispers to me? And I'm not saying this. I put myself there. What if he whispers to me? I want you to go to this small village in Iraq or Iran or Afghanistan, and I want you to go minister God's word. Homer, perilous times await you, but do not fear, I am with you. What if he whispers to me, and Homer, you're not coming back? I got to know that I'm going over there as a good soldier. I got to know that if I go over there, that I'm going to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That no matter what's at hand, no matter what I face in the natural, no matter what I face in the spirit, I've got to know that there's no fear in me. I've got to know that I have to go obey the voice of the Holy Ghost, and I have to know if I go, that it doesn't matter what happens, that I've got to fulfill my Father's will. I've been in training. It's just, you know, you think, you spend the day in prayer, and you think things are going to just automatically get easier. My friends, that's not always the case. That's why sometimes the Holy Ghost is so awesome. Sometimes you'll spend continual hours in prayer and you feel nothing. You feel nothing. You're going through 1 John, through the Bible, and you're getting no revelation knowledge. And then you come to church and he saturates your emotion. And that's fine. I can handle that. But he's teaching me. He's prepping me how to stay strong mentally and in my soul, not allowing my flesh to take me over. And I'll take it. I'll take that 30-minute baptism on Wednesdays and Sundays here that I don't feel like I'm getting at home in my closet. I'll take that saturation of 30 minutes in here during worship. You know, there's nothing wrong with me when I'm here. He just comes. Okay, son, I know you had a, you sat there in my presence, you prayed in the Holy Ghost, you worshiped, and you felt nothing, but here, let Daddy give you a drink of Gatorade, of spiritual Gatorade. Let me remind you what you're contending for. So he comes and he visits me, and praise God for that. But more than anything, it seems like right now he's having me endure. Or he's teaching me, or I'm teaching myself through the message on how to endure. He says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I looked up that word soldier in the Greek. What do you think that word soldier means in the Greek? So, yes, it does. But it means a soldier in an army. It means a common warrior. He says, endure hardness as a good soldier in an army. Let me tell you something, my friends. I want to know that I know how to endure hardness as a good soldier, as a soldier in an army. I don't want to be an army reservist. Those of you that are here on Wednesday nights, I believe you're good soldiers in an army. I don't want to be an army reservist, and I sure don't want to be a rebel. I was a rebel for about 18 years before I took this thing serious 3 or 4 years ago. I was a rebel. I went and did as I chose. If I felt like coming to church, I came to church. If I didn't feel like coming to church, I didn't come to church. Do you know how many times I lied to Pastor Bunk and told him that I had to work late? You know how many times I lied to him? Several times I lied to him. And yes, I did work late, but I made myself work late so I wouldn't have to come to church. You know what? A good soldier in an army does not miss briefings. A rebel misses briefings. Consider what I say. May the Lord give you understanding. I can't put my conviction on you. This is the way the Holy Ghost showed me. I was a rebel, my friends. A rebel rebels. A good soldier listens to the five-star general because the five-star general knows a little bit more than a good soldier. A five-star general knows a little bit more than a common warrior. I was a rebel for too long. I did as I wanted to do. I missed out on very important briefings on Wednesday night and Sunday morning. Why? Because I wanted to. I'm not going to be a rebel anymore. There's too much at stake. There's too much at stake. I'm talking about myself. You might say, are you calling me a rebel? No, I'm talking about myself. But if the shoe fits, but if it fits. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier, a soldier in an army. Endure it. Attend the briefings, Homer. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I refuse to be an army reservist. I choose to not be an army reservist. And I choose now never to ever be a rebel again. Because rebels don't make it, my friends. You never make it being a rebel because you're full of rebellion and you know everything. And knowing everything will get you in absolute trouble. So I choose as a good soldier to endure hardness. And I choose to allow myself to be briefed on a continual basis by the Holy Ghost and by the teachings of this church and by the teachings of Pastor Bronk. You don't know how many times I wanted to come in. I mean, I've fought in the spirit all week long. And I come in here and the very word that's ministered is the very word that I need to give me strength for another day. I refuse to be a rebel. And I will not be an army reservist. Either I'm going to go forward or I'm just going to call it quits. My friends, and I'm not going to call it quits. I will not call it quits. I will not be a rebel. I'll be a good soldier in the Lord's army and I will endure hardness. And out of that enduring process, by doing what we're taught to do, I'm going to do nothing but get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And nothing will be able to move me. So if ever I'm called to go somewhere else and to lay it all down, I'll go. I'll salute my soldier, my five-star general. Yes, sir, Jesus, I am going. And I got to know that I'm prepared. And if he sends me, he'll know that I'm prepared. And I will go forward with no fear in my life, my friends. That's what you're after, too. We're all after the same thing. So let's endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And you know what? And we're prepped. We have the goods. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, we have the goods to endure hardness as good soldiers What do you mean we have the goods? He said, for you have not received the spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. That spirit of power that's deposited in me and you is enough to endure every single hardness as a good soldier. We have been thoroughly equipped, my friends, to endure any affliction, any fiery trial, and anything that the enemy could ever throw our way. There is nothing in the world that we cannot endure. Persecutions of the mind, it doesn't matter. One thing I've learned about Paul's writings, you know when God can come deliver me and you out of a persecution? Do you know when he can come deliver us? Somebody take a shot at it. You know when he'll come and deliver us out of that persecution? When do you think he'll come? When we learn to endure that persecution. And I'm not talking about there being timid, just waiting for the time to go by. No. We continue praying in the Holy Ghost. When we continue doing what we're taught to do, okay, boy. Okay, Pastor Bronk, I see the force of consistency. I see, boy, that you're not going nowhere. I see you're going through this. Okay, Bronk. Not that he's moody and says, okay, I'm going to deliver you on Tuesday, but you step forward, Jacob. You step forward, Alex. Okay, here you go. You've endured this. It's time. Let Daddy exalt you out of this situation. My friends, that's what we're contending for. Hallelujah. As good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we've been empowered by the grace of God. What grace? The power of God that lives inside of us is his life and our spirit. Our candle has been lit, my friends. Nothing on the face of this earth can stop me and you. I mean nothing. He goes on to say in 1 Timothy chapter 1, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he said, you've not received the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And a verse or two later, he says, therefore you can endure the afflictions of the gospel of Jesus Christ according to the power of God. The power of the rebirth, my friends, is incredible if you can grasp it. If I can grasp it, the power of the rebirth will lead us along with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing in the world that we cannot and will not endure by the power of the rebirth and the power of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing in the world that me and you cannot and will not endure if we want to, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Soldiers in an army, not rebels, not army reservists, but good soldiers in the army of God. That's what we're after, and that's what all these hours of praying in the Holy Ghost, even when you feel them, even when you don't, when you're reading the same book 40 or 50 times and you feel like you're receiving nothing, trust me, it is taking an effect in your life, in your spirit. There's a saturation in your soul. There's a transformation taking place. You might not see it, but when adversity comes and you stand strong, all those hours of praying and seeking God that you didn't feel, trust me, they show up in adversity because you just cross another level in God the Father through the enduring prayer that me and you commit to every single day. Hallelujah. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There's no rebels in the army of God. A rebel rebels against authority. How do you know? It's none of your business. For 18 years, I was a rebel, my friends. 18 years. 18 years. 18 years. A rebel. Pastor was my pastor, and he wasn't my pastor. Now don't leave the poor guy alone. Remember that now. Okay. All right. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Inside joke. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All right, Pastor, I'll talk to you later. Praise God. Praise God. So all these hours, and again, this isn't about hours. I'm just saying there's some days where you think, my friends, if only I could pray long, you might say to yourself, things will be fixed. Well, yeah, but there's a lot of days that you figure after committing a day of prayer, the weeks of prayer, months of prayer, that resistance stops. My friend, the flesh is always going to be there. the flesh is always going to be there. And the flesh can be so intimidating if you allow it. So intimidating. You know, you read 1 Samuel chapter 17 about Goliath, the champion from the armies of the Philistine from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, over 9 feet tall. The coat of mail that he wore weighed 126 pounds. The spearhead on his spear was over 15 pounds, 600 shekels of brass. His coat of mail was 126 pounds. Just his mail alone was 126 pounds, over 9 feet tall, standing there and intimidating the armies of God. You don't think 9'6", according to Google, a coat of mail, what else do I go by? I never asked him personally. My Googler Googled. My Googler is my daughter-in-law. She does all the Googling for me. 126 pound coat of mail. Spearhead over 15 pounds. You want to talk about intimidating? Think about it. A man 9'6". The spearhead was more than a 15-pound dumbbell. Just the spearhead on his spear that was like a weaver's beam, armed with greaves on his legs. He had someone that carried a shield for him. A 126-pound coat of mail. Can you imagine how strong that man was? I bet you he could take that spear and that 15-pound spearhead and thrust it right through anyone's shield. But even in all his glory, he did not have a covenant with the Almighty God. He did not have a covenant with the Almighty God. And it's a shame, I'm just shooting a number out there, it's a shame that 20,000 men could not conclude that this uncircumcised Philistine did not have a covenant with the Almighty God. Let's say 20,001 plus a king saw that, could not comprehend that this uncircumcised Philistine did not have a covenant with God. It took a 5'6" ruddy young man to comprehend, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? That's what did him in. That's what did Goliath in. He met a man that had a relationship with the living God. Who is this uncircumcised man with no covenant that he should defy the armies of the living God? You know who else does not have a covenant with the living God? Our flesh does not have a covenant with the living God. Our flesh is weak to an extent, but it can bark like a pit bull if we let it. 20,001 men heard his voice 40 days in a row, morning and evening. 80 times he came with the same exact accusations to 20,000 men that had a covenant. 20,001 men that had a covenant with the Almighty God, yet an uncircumcised man of the army of Gath, a Philistine, a mighty man of valor, a 126-pound coat of mail, a spearhead of 15 pounds, 9'6". 20,000 men saw him, and they talked about what they saw. They said, have you seen this man that has come and defied the armies of the living God? They saw him, and they talked about what they saw. Yet 1 Samuel 17 says that David heard him. It doesn't even say that David saw him, but David heard the words of the Philistine. He heard him. That was enough to convince him, who is this uncircumcised dog that he should defy the armies of the living God? David had a revelation. I have the Torah. I have the first 5 books. This uncircumcised man has nothing. He had a comprehension that if David would keep the law, offer up the right sacrifice. But you know what? David did more than endeavor to keep the law. He saw something in the law. And what he saw in the law was the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he saw in the law. He saw him in the law. But he concluded through the law, okay, I have the law. There's a living God in the law. According to the law, if I keep the law, I'm victorious. This uncircumcised man, he does not have the law. So how can he be victorious over me? Our flesh does not have the life of God in it. Our spirit man has the life of God in it. Our flesh barks continually. It'll bark more than 40 days, morning and evening. It'll issue the same threats 80 times if you let it. Our flesh has no covenant with God. On the contrary, our flesh is subservient to our spirit man. Our spirit man has the life of God. It has the life of the Almighty God in our spirit. This should be a one-sided victory at all times. Why? Because our flesh has no covenant with God, but our spirit, it's been lit with the life of God. The light of God abides in our spirit. The living God, the life. We are the bloodline of the living God. Yet 20,000 men that had access to the city gate, that had access to the law, ran like puppies. They saw the giant and they ran. David didn't even have to see him. He just heard him and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He should defy the armies of the living God. Let no man's heart fail because of him. I will go. I will go. And I'm going to kill him. Our flesh cannot dictate to me and you what it's gonna. It will try like a pit bull. It will bark if we let it. But our flesh has no rights. It has no covenant with God. Our spirit does. We have more than a covenant. We have an inheritance. We've been called into sonship. Our candle has been lit. How can an operation that does not have God in it dominate Christians that have the life of God in it? My God, it's kind of hard to comprehend, but I can understand it because I was dominated for so many years. It took one little shepherd boy, 5'6" maybe. 5'6" valiant men of war saw this giant, and they described this giant. They described his words one to another, and they ran. But one 5'6" young Hebrew with no shield, with no sword, with no coat of mail, with no helmet of brass. Who is this uncircumcised dog that he should defy the armies of the living God? Let no man's heart fail because of him. I will go and kill this man. I will go and fight. I will go fight this Philistine. I'll fight him. And I'm exhorting, and Saul says, you cannot go up against this man. He's a man of valor from his youth. You're but a shepherd. Even Saul didn't have a clue. He said, well, go. And God be with you. They said, I'll go and God is with me. Saul said, go and God be with you. They said, oh, I'm going to go, buddy. And God is with me. The same God that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. The same God. David was a prophet. He was prophesying. The same God that took me out of the paw of the lion and the bear, he would deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Boys, because I got a covenant with God the Father. My friends, every single one of us in here, we have an inheritance, a covenant. We've been called into sonship. We can never back down from Goliath or from his threats or from his lies. We can stand firm in the power of the Holy Ghost and always come out on top if we want to. Always come out on top. We do not have to bow to the threats of the flesh. Why? Because our candle has been lit, and if that wasn't enough, we have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's enough to get me excited. send me to Iraq. But I got to know there's an El Taquito there to get some food on occasion. I've got to know this. My friends, we cannot back down. Saul says, go. And he armed him with his armor. This is what, through imagery, through what Pastor Dave teaches us. David loved Saul, my friends. He loved him. I think, Pastor Bronk, my personal opinion is that out of respect for Saul, he allowed Saul to dress him. Out of respect, I mean, he had the king's armor on, man. Out of respect to Saul, said, David, let me arm you. I'm paraphrasing, guys. I know you'll, I can't teach line upon line right now, but I will before long. I think David said, no, I'm not going to offend. That's the king of Israel. I'll put him on, Saul. He said, but I can't go with these. I have not proved them yet. See, what Saul failed to conclude, what he failed to conclude. And I love this story. I love this story. I could go over 1 Samuel 16 and 17 over and over again in the Psalms that David wrote. I love it. What Saul failed to conclude, was it David's armor? Was internal. His soul was saturated with the word of God. And his soul knew that there was a living God. Go on, the Lord be with you. I'm going. And I will prove to you shortly that he is with me. He said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause in this town? Down the street from me is a man in a wheelchair that's been there forever. In Texas is a young lady named Isabel Herrera that's been in a wheelchair from her birth. Is there not a cause? Goliath did himself in when he cursed David by his gods. I can just imagine David say, my God's better than your God. My dog's better than yours. My God's better because I don't know the rest of the words of that song. You know, one thing that Goliath did, he gave David an invitation. He said, you come to me with staves, with sticks. You come to me. David obeyed the words of the giant. He came to him all right. He came to him. Goliath says, come. They said, oh, I'm going, boy. What all Israel failed to realize was the saturation of God's word in our soul, now in our spirit. Let me arm you with my helmet of brass, David. Let me arm you with this coat of mail. The king sort of, let me put it on your side, David. I have not proved these. Let me go with what I know. I'm not going to step out of my element. Let me go get 5 smooth stones, one for you and for your boys. Like Doc Holliday said, I got one for each of you. Got one for each of you. Are you preaching law? No, I'm preaching the shadow. And I'll close with this. Goliath still barks today. He still barks today like a dog. 40 days, morning and evening, he yelled the same thing to the armies of Israel till one ruddy 5 foot and change boy heard the threats against the armies of the living God. And David was not right, but he said, today the Lord's going to deliver you into our hands. He took it personal that this uncircumcised Philistine would revile the armies, his fellow brethren in God. He's going to deliver you into our hands. Into our hands. He went with the saturation of God's word in his soul, and with the understanding that inside the law, he found the risen Savior. He wasn't born again, but he knew that day was coming. And that was enough to overcome maybe a 400 or 500 pound man, 9'6", with a coat of mail, 126 pounds, and the spearhead on his spear was over 15 pounds. It didn't faze him. How much more shall me and you not wake up every single morning, know that Goliath is gonna bark? He might be barking you the same things for 2 years, my friends. You don't have to put up with it. Why? Because your candle has been lit. God has not given to you the spirit of fear, but he's given to you the spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. And through the rebirth, we can endure the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. You can't stop Goliath from barking. He's going to bark to the day that we die. And you know what? You don't even have to look for Goliath. He's going to find you. Remember, what tries to find you, it does not have a covenant with the Almighty God. On the contrary, our flesh has been put to what? But our spirit has been quickened by the Holy Ghost. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. He acknowledged that it was a fight, but he said, this fight, I fought it well and I've won. I'm ready to be offered up. Satan, you didn't kill me. Sickness, you didn't take my life. I have finished. I'm ready. I've done what my Lord has called me to do. I'll give it up now. Nero, go ahead and take it. I'm ready. I'm ready to be offered up. The time of my departure is at hand. He prevailed also against Goliath. He prevailed also against the flesh. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter in a masterpiece, talking about his decease as the Lord Jesus Christ had showed him, gives us the perfect doctrine on how to stand and never fall. He said, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, you shall never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's about to be martyred, man, and he has the audacity to tell us his secret to enduring to the end. Paul is about to be martyred in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he's telling us the importance of sound doctrine. He said, this is what carried me to the end. This is what carried me to the end. The soundness that's in Christ, I kept this. I endured afflictions. I endured persecutions. I endured it by the power of the rebirth. I'm ready to be offered up, and before I go, I'm going to teach you one more time what took me to the end, the sound doctrine that's in Jesus Christ. I almost got carried away 3 or 4 years ago with a doctrine that sound doctrine was not important. Well, my friends, that was false doctrine. I was this close. I caught myself after about a month. Well, doctrine isn't important. It's your relationship with Jesus. My friends, without sound doctrine, you really don't have a relationship with Christ Jesus. It might be an emotional roller coaster for you. So I said, it's not about doctrine, it's about Jesus. Well, that was false doctrine. What I said was not anyway. Do you know who you are in God? Do you know what you can overcome? Your flesh does not have a covenant. In fact, at the rebirth, your flesh was dealt with and your spirit was quickened. Don't put up with the words of your flesh of Goliath another day. Yes, they'll be there to the end, but even to the end, we can beat him in its place. we can beat the mess out of our flesh and crucify that thing every single day, man. I didn't realize, but 2 or 3 weeks ago, I prophesied to somebody, and the Lord reminded me of that today. He said, you know, you prophesied to him. I said, I didn't know, Jesus. I told a group of young men about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I said, Pastor Bronk, his teachings have been on another level. His sensitivity in the spirit is like I've never seen before. We're tapping into something new, it seems like. Not new, but another levels of glory. I said, we all have to be careful how we live. I almost said, beware, guys. He's in another level right now. And I realized today that I was prophesying the mind of Christ. I realized today I was prophesying to this group of young men. Realize that I was prophesying to him. I can't talk about the things I used to talk about a year ago. I can't. There's another level of sensitivity. It's like the Holy Ghost has me under a microscope. I just can't say certain things that I could a year ago. I just can't. And I don't want to. What we're contending for for an outpouring that is yet to be seen through the magnitude of the book of Acts. And my friends, these closing words again. When the apostle said in the book of Acts, the lame man was raised, he said, it's not according to our holiness and righteousness. I believe I'm paraphrasing that this man walks. It's according to the faith that we have in the Son of God. They didn't say that they weren't walking holy. But they said he's not raised because of our holiness. They were walking holy. Make no mistake, our hands have to be clean. Our speech has to be clean. And I'm seeing if he's allowing me to go forward. They have to be. The grace periods are over. Everyone in here is accountable. Everyone in here is accountable. Your flesh cannot dominate you, but it will if you let it. If you look into that perfect law of liberty and you hear it and continue in it, you'll be blessed in your deed. Stay in the spirit. In other words, walk in the light. How do you know when you walk in the light? When you walk in love, 1 John chapter 2. What is walking in love? Keeping his word. What is keeping his word? 1 John chapter 2. Keeping his commandments. Not walking in the light is walking in darkness. Walking in darkness is walking in sin. Walking in sin is not keeping his commandments. Not keeping his commandments is not keeping his word. Not keeping his word is walking in hate towards your brother. We cannot leave the operation. We cannot leave the truth that proceeds out of the light. That's darkness, my friends. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. We lie and do not the truth. We say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. We lie and do not the truth. So obviously walking in darkness disqualifies me from having fellowship with him. So that means that walking in the light is having fellowship with him, is having koinonia with the Father. I can't leave the operation of the Spirit. I can't leave it. I can't leave the truth that proceeds out of the light and think I'm okay in my life with Christ. That, my friends, is darkness. I can't leave it. And if I do leave it, Pastor Bronk, like Pastor says, I just go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Jesus, forgive me, but don't play with sin. Like Pastor Dave once said, if you play with a baby snake, be careful. It will grow up and bite you. And in case you don't know, snakes have venom in them. I didn't know I was going to go this way, and I'm done. I didn't have a clue. I did not know. And my hands are clean, and my conscience is real clean right now. It really is. You've been armed. Your spirit's been filled with the life of the Father. And that spirit's been filled with the Holy Ghost. You are not a weakling, my friends. You are not a weakling. You have more than enough in you to say no to the things of this world. It's just a matter of wanting to. David said, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands as he recompensed me. He says, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and had not wickedly departed from my God. He said, his precepts were before me, his statutes were before me, and I did not put, and I put away my iniquity from him. He has rewarded me because my hands are clean. He didn't even have the life of God in him. You are more than an overcomer. You are more than an overcomer. We're pursuing something that's very few have ever touched. But I cannot do it as an adulterer. Not just a physical adultery. It's not what I'm making reference to. I'm talking about committing adultery. One foot in the world and one foot in the spirit. I cannot do it. I tried. All it produced was misery and a rebellious attitude. And I was a rebel. I never thought, and I'm done in 2 minutes for real. I'm going to close with this because I can feel it already. He's having me be quiet now. And I want to say this where I don't bring a reproach against the gospel of Jesus Christ or upon the perfect will of my Father. It is the perfect will of my Father, according to Isaiah, according to Matthew 8. See, what the desire of my heart is to see again. I know that. You know that. And I know that's been provided for. It's just a matter of me believing it. But I can honestly say to you, and I'm done in 2 minutes, I can honestly say to you, there seems to be something working in me. And I know I'm going to see again. I know I am. I'm not saying that you got to listen carefully to what I'm saying. But something that's been concluded in me is on the way of being concluded in me, that I'm developing the mindset that if I can learn to love you, if I can learn to see you in your strongholds and to love you and not take note of your strongholds, if I can learn to love you like Jesus loved me, I'm content with that more than ever seeing again. I'm not saying I'm not going to see. But if I can grasp and comprehend and understand the love of God, I won. If I can love you like Jesus loves you, whether they open up ever again, and I know they will, that's not what I'm saying. If I can literally comprehend 1 John and not teach it, but live it to a T, I have won. because I have treated you and loved you the way my Savior has loved me. You are my brothers, and I desire to love you how Jesus instructed me. And Luke 6 teaches me how to love those that call me their enemies because I call Jesus my Lord. I want to love them the same way. Come with me and Pastor, come with us together on this journey of laying down your lives. Goliath is going to bark again 40 days, morning and evening. Stand up, man. Stand up. Your candle has been lit. You are sons of God. You have an inheritance. You have a covenant. Our flesh has been defeated. Don't let a defeated operation defeat me and you for the rest of our lives. We have been born again. If we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That battle is going to continue forever, but it doesn't matter. It can be a one-sided war with me and you winning because we have been born again, my friends. Don't let that uncircumcised flesh with no rights, with no covenant, with no life for God, and do not let it defeat me and you anymore. Stand firm in the conviction of the Almighty God. Because as we pursue this revival, as we pursue it, and the glory from heaven is made manifest, it won't be through dirty hands, Pastor Brunt, will it? It won't be through dirty hands. Have you had dirty hands before, Homer? Yeah. God, yes. Something's changed, though. Through the Holy Ghost, something has changed. Endure hardness. Is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A soldier is a soldier in an army. I don't believe there's one person here that's content in being an army reservist. I don't believe you want to be a rebel. But I believe you want to submit to your spirit, man, wherein all holiness and true righteousness abides. So put off the former conversation, you. Put it off. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You put on the new man, which after God has created in holiness and true righteousness. Live a crucified life. Say no to the things of this world. Abide in the light. If you abide in the light, that qualifies you to love your brother. Amen.